Good evening, my name's Tim, I'm one of the pastors here. We're going to be reading Deuteronomy 8 this evening. And if you'd need a Bible, please feel no embarrassment by putting your hands in the air, and our steward will bring you one over. So he's got one down the front here, Jim. So if this is one of your first Sunday evenings, or if you've flown all the way from America to be here this evening, just to set the scene a little bit. So Moses is preaching to God's people. They're just about to enter the promised land. And Moses is speaking, this is a second sermon to them. And so we're going to hear what he says to them this evening. So Deuteronomy chapter 8 on page 187. And I'll start from verse 1. Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years, to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron, and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. This is God's word to us this evening. Let's turn to prayer, shall we, and ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, that it is living and active. And Father, as we read it this evening, as we sit under your word this evening, Father, we pray that it would come with power, that we wouldn't just be going through the motions of just listening to it being read in your word another time. May your word impact our lives and change us so that we'd be more like Jesus and less like ourselves as when we leave. Please, Father, would you do that this evening? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what is the worst thing you've ever forgotten? Now, I won't ask you for a show of hands, but you can do a little test, okay? I'm going to ask some questions from a list that I've kind of compiled, but I did so by looking online for some help. So question number one, have you ever forgotten keys for your house? Okay, well, a bit of participation, okay. You might not want to say yes when we get further on in other questions. I forgot my keys earlier this week to here, and it's really annoying, can't get in, and it's really frustrating. Number two, have you forgotten a special occasion? Like your wife's wedding anniversary or Armel's birthday, which is today. And number three, have you ever forgotten a password for something? Yeah, we've all been there, particularly online, and you've got to try and remember it, or you have to fill in those kind of emails, get another email. Yeah, it goes on forever. Parents, one for you. Have you ever forgotten to collect your child from school? Good. I'm glad no one ran off to go now. That would be pretty bad. This is something I've experienced, but on the child front. Kids, one for you. Have you ever forgotten it was own clothes day at school? I have to say, having been a teacher for a number of years, it's a really sad thing where everyone in your class comes in and they're all dressed in, you know, their own clothes. It's well book day, they've got their costumes on. Then there's that one child who's in school uniform and you quickly rush around trying to give them something to wear just so they feel a bit included. Oh, there we go. One last one. Have you ever forgotten to lock the toilet door? I'm going to take that as a yes. Now, I wonder whether you can relate to any of these. I imagine you can, given the responses. And there's plenty of other things that I could add to the list. But actually, one thing that was missing from every list that I explored was the Lord. Now, that might seem a little bit strange to say, but there is a very real danger of God's people to forget the Lord. And that's what Deuteronomy 8 is all about. You see, Deuteronomy 8, what we read, acts as a warning to us. It's like a siren before an air raid. So if you imagine the passage that I read earlier is like an iceberg or a mountain. Its peak, its high point, is in the middle. Okay, so have a look at verse 11. It says this, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God." You see, the rest of the chapter before and after this is pointing to this big command right in the middle. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Now again, you may be thinking, well, are we really in danger of forgetting the Lord? You know, we're here at church tonight. Today, Enfield Town Community Church celebrates 122 years of remembering the Lord. Haven't we done well, we might say. Isn't that what church is about? But if Moses thought it was essential to address God's rescued people about this danger, then it must also be a very real danger for us too. And we're called to pay attention to it, to sit up and listen, so we can, by God's grace, avoid the pitfalls of this danger, that we wouldn't forget the Lord. So how are we going to spot someone who has forgotten the Lord or someone who's starting to forget the Lord? What kind of signs are there? What's going to characterize their life? And on the other hand, how are we going to spot someone who is remembering the Lord, who's going through the motions of making sure they don't forget the Lord? How are we going to know this? Well, this chapter highlights the answer to both of these important questions, and that's really where we're going to spend our time tonight. And I guess the outworking is really seen in two words. In praise or pride. You see, the outworking of someone who's remembering the Lord is one of praise to him. And the signs of someone who has forgotten the Lord is one of pride. So praise or pride? Which side do you fall into this evening? As the Lord looks into your heart tonight, which does he see? Well, let's take each in turn and spend time thinking through them. And the first thing we're going to look at is just verses 1 to 10. And we're going to see remembering the Lord leads to praise. So I wonder how you remember things. Are you someone who's super organized and kind of writes everything down so you don't forget in your diary? Or ask your wife to so she can remind you? And perhaps you have a flurry of post-it notes around the house which are there to kind of prompt you. Or perhaps you get your pen and you write down, you know, I must say happy birthday to Armel later, or something like that. Now, it's important to remember stuff. Only the other day, Rachel, my wife, she headed home to collect one of the kids' car seats she had forgotten, only to return to church 10 minutes later without it. Now, you may call it baby brain for me and Rach at the moment. And for you Americans, baby brain basically means not getting enough sleep due to having a newborn around. But the point is, if we can easily forget unimportant things, then how are we going to remember important things like the Lord? So it's a big question. And firstly, let me just say, it requires being deliberate. So if you look at verse 1 of our passage, the same words come up from the key verse of verse 11. It says, be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today. Part of what it looks like to remember the Lord is being careful, not clumsy, not assuming it's going to happen to us. If you're going to remember the Lord, then you'll need to walk closely with him. You will need to know him, know what pleases him, and then to do it with his help. Now, we haven't got time to look at each verse in huge detail, but I just want to talk really, particularly for the first 10 verses, about one of the key themes and threads through these verses, which points us to this big theme of praising the Lord. And it's about all about provision. It's about the Lord's provision. It's remembering the Lord's gracious provision that will lead to praise. So remembering the Lord will involve looking back over our lives and seeing his guiding and providing hand throughout, in both the good and the bad, and through the easy and the hard of life. See, Moses says to the people in verse 2, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years. He says, God has led you all of the way, not part of the way. He didn't lead you for a bit and then kind of give you a map and say, on you go now. No, the Lord led you all the way. And he did it so he could see into your hearts. Would the rescued people do what the Lord said? Would they obey him? Would they be full of praise or pride? Would they thank him for delivering them? Or would they start to pat themselves on the back? Now, God's provision also included humbling and feeding the people. Have a look at verse 3. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known. He humbled them by causing them to hunger. Why would you do that? Well, surely so that they would call out to him for his great provision. So they would call for him for help. And then in his mercy, despite all their grumbling towards him, the Lord feeds them with manna, with bread from heaven. Just keep going with me with the theme of this. Have a look at verse 4. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. See, isn't that just an amazing thing? If you think of that for a minute, they're in the desert for 40 years, and their clothes don't wear out, and their feet did not swell. I mean, I get through a pair of socks in like a couple of weeks, but they're 40 years. And it's not a problem. And again, we could dwell on that point, but there's so much more to see. I want us to see that the weight of the Lord's provision is to lead to the praise of the people. How can there be room for pride from God's people? See, as they look back, the Lord has done everything. He's provided all of their needs, the rescue from Egypt and everything since. As God's people look back, only praise should be heard from their lips. Just take a look at one more example with me. So in verse 7, the people are called to obey and revere the Lord because, verse 7, the Lord your God is bringing you into good land. And the land we read through in verse 7, 8 to 9, this kind of rich land, this amazing land where they will lack nothing in verse 9. You see, he is the Lord, the great shepherd who has provided for them and led them through the wilderness. And he's going to continue to provide even more when they reach the land he'd promised to them. See, remember the Lord. He's done all of it. You haven't done anything, Israelites. God did it all. And God's going to continue to do it all. So what should your response be, Israelites, God's people? Well, verse 10. Praise the Lord. See, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God. See, remembering the Lord leads to praise. You see, looking back on God's great provision to us individually and as a church over 122 years, that should lead us to praise God. To praise him, not kind of pat ourselves on the back. See, when things go well, what should we do? Well, we should remember the Lord and praise him. When things are hard, when things are tough, what should we do? Well, we should remember the Lord and praise him. Now, it may seem a bit idealistic to say we should praise God when we experience the hardship of life, but as we've seen, the Lord graciously humbles his people, causes them to hunger so they would see their need of him and then reach out to him, call out to him for his help, that we would be those who depend on him more and more and less on ourselves. See, as I look back over my life, even this week, often the times I felt closest to the Lord is when he has humbled me, when things became a bit tough, when things hadn't gone the way I had planned. Because in those situations where God showed me my weakness and my flaws, it's called me to call out to him more for his help. And actually the times when I've, I guess, been most danger of forgetting the Lord is when things have gone well and I've almost been beginning to say, well done, Tim, you've done a good job this week. See, the wilderness can be a tough place, and perhaps that's where you feel you're at this evening. Just the pain of life or difficult situation that's kind of left you doubting, is God really good? To say, where are you, Lord? But Moses, God through his word this evening says, don't forget the Lord, remember him. He uses difficult situations and the brokenness of our lives and our world so that we would call on him to provide. So remember him and let that lead you to praise him this evening. See, if tonight you're struggling to see that, then think of our Lord Jesus, the one who battled Satan in the wilderness and triumphed. He totally remembered the Lord's provision for him. You see, he spent his life on earth modeling perfect obedience to the Father, consistently living on every word that comes from the Lord, and who always sought to bring praise to him. And it was Jesus who the Lord God provided for us to be the sacrifice for sins, the one to take the blame for all the times where we failed to give God the praise he's due. Friends, if the Lord, our God, provided for our biggest need, the forgiveness of our sins, and the restoration of a broken relationship with God, then he will never fail to provide whatever else we need to follow him, which will certainly include the days when it feels hardest, when the hardship and the persecution comes. So if you're struggling at the moment, remember the Lord. Remember his character. Remember his great provision for you in Christ and praise him. And if at the moment you feel like you lack nothing, you're walking with the Lord, then praise God for that, because that's a mercy. Praise him for all you have, both physically and spiritually. Praise him and store these truths in your heart so that you avoid the danger of forgetting him. So we've seen that remembering the Lord leads to praise. That's the right response. You see, remembering his character, remembering his faithful provision to us, that will lead to praise. And that is how we avoid the danger of falling into forgetting the Lord. So remembering the Lord leads to praise. Now let's turn to what it looks like to kind of fall into the trap of forgetting the Lord, which is this. Forgetting the Lord leads to pride, which we're going to just look through 11 to the end to help us. Now, we've all heard the phrase, haven't we? Pride comes before a... Good, very good. Or literally, in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, it says, pride goes before destruction. And this is true in all sorts of ways. I mean, how often do sports teams say, yeah, we're the best, we're going to beat everyone, and then they go and lose. And it kind of, it shocks that what they've said. And actually, it's a theme that runs throughout Scripture. There's so many examples to choose from. I had to delete some, otherwise we would have been here all night. But just one that struck recently as we went through the book of Daniel was King Nebuchadnezzar. He boasted about all that was his. So this is the words of Nebuchadnezzar. He said, is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? And the account goes on to say that even as the words of this boasting were on Nebuchadnezzar's lips, a voice came from heaven to humble him, and he was driven away. And actually, the Lord was merciful to him, wasn't he? Because he humbled him and brought him back so that he would later praise him. I guess perhaps a better example for disciples of Jesus could be the Last Supper. See, at the Last Supper, what do all the disciples say? Well, they declare, Lord Jesus, we'll never betray you. We won't do that. No, of course we won't. I'm not going to deny you, said Peter. And yet soon after, they all abandoned him. See, forgetting the Lord can lead to pride, and pride goes before destruction. Now, one of the signs of forgetting the Lord and being proud is seen in verse 11. So we've got a kind of key verse there, but I'll read it to you, and it comes afterwards as well. So be careful, verse 11, that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. See, forgetting the Lord begins when we start to fail to observe the Lord's commands, when we start to turn our ears away from listening to what God says is right and what God says is wrong. And more than that, it's forgetting the Lord's provision that we've spent a bit of time looking at in verses 1 to 10. See, if you forget what the Lord has done for you, then verse 14, then you're in danger of this. Verse 14, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. Your heart will become proud. You'll start to forget him. In verses 14 to 18, we're reminded again of what the Lord has done for his people. So for the Israelites to become proud, it would mean for them to forget the one who had rescued them from Egypt. It would mean for them to forget the one who graciously led them through the desert, forgetting the one who had always been quick to provide all they needed. And as soon as our eyes have come off our providing God, where do they go to? They go to ourselves, don't they? So the boasts come out in verse 17. Moses says, look, if you become proud, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. See, Moses warns the Israelites here that when good days come, don't forget the Lord. Don't become proud and make great boasts about what you've done. Because actually, you haven't done anything. You've done nothing. It was the Lord who provided. The Lord rescued you from slavery in Egypt and has guided you through all the grumbling to now. And as you stand on the edge of the promised land, don't forget that. And then when you go into the land and as you prosper, as the Lord has promised, don't forget it. Don't forget the Lord. Remember your roots. Remember it is the Lord who has provided. God's people, praise is the right response, not pride. It may feel a little detached from that for us. So I guess the question is, where do we fall into the trap of pride? I think if you think about it, it probably doesn't take much for us. You see, perhaps you've led a good Bible study, or you've nailed that kids talk at Treasure Hunters, and someone said to you afterwards, mate, that was so helpful. Which, in its own, is a nice thing to hear, isn't it? But the danger is we so often allow this type of compliment to kind of just stroke our ego a little bit, rather than cause us to fall on our knees and say, Lord, thank you for helping me to prepare and deliver a message that was helpful. Praise you, Lord, for using a wretched sinner like me to bring honor to your mighty name. So have you ever had that? Sometimes pride is a bit more subtle. It can always sneak up on you. So in the battle of sin, perhaps you win some battles with a common failing. And rather than praising the Lord for his help and his provision, you kind of tap yourself on the back and say, well done. Well done, me. You did it. And perhaps more than that, perhaps in the fight with sin, you've spent more time coming up with rules and regulations to conquer a sin rather than ask the Lord for his help and provision in the first place. And then before you know it, you're more concerned about keeping the rules than obeying what God said. That's pride. That's the danger for us. See, we can become so legalistic that we miss the point in why we started to fight sin in the first place. And we forget that Jesus died for it. In essence, when we do that, we're saying to Jesus, well, thank you for dying on the cross, Jesus, but I'll take it from here. I'm going to try really hard now. Is it silly? Pride is a dangerous enemy. And it starts with forgetting the Lord. And then when it's fully grown, it leads to destruction. And that's the warning at the end of our passage in verse 19 and 20. Let me read it to you. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. You see, tonight the sirens are playing. Danger, watch out. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. And it's a danger for all of us. So how are we going to keep ourselves from this danger? What's what we've seen? It will be through praise. Praise for God for his great provision. How will we spot if we're starting to slip? What will be our lives are growing in pride? And it's worth pointing out that both of these, kind of praise and pride, they both act in spirals. So the reaction of praise acts as an upward spiral. You see, if I remember the Lord's provision and his goodness to me, then I praise him. And as I praise him, I remember his goodness to me. And it keeps going round and it goes up and up. And pride's the opposite. So when I forget the Lord and become proud, I then forget the Lord and I get more proud and more kind of self-indulged, and it goes down and down like a downward cycle. Praise has an upward trajectory and it focuses on God. Pride spins down, slides down. It's a slippery slope. Now, whichever is most prominent in our lives, praise or pride, it's really for us to think about and pray about tonight, to come to the Lord and ask him to forgive us where we've gone wrong, where we have been proud, and to then praise him for his great provision in our lives and ultimately in providing the Lord Jesus for us. Now, each of us need to reflect on this danger, because we don't walk around, do we, with badges on that say pride or praise. It's not as obvious as that. But we know in our hearts, and this is a danger for us. It's a heart issue, and the Lord is mentioned a couple of times here. He sees the heart. So look at verse 2. He humbled and tested them in order to know what was in your heart. Again, we can hide it from others, but the Lord sees into us. The Lord humbles and tests the Israelites to know what was in their hearts. There's a wrestle for our hearts, and to keep them from becoming proud, we must turn to the Lord in praise. Now, we've seen that this is a danger for all of God's people, but you may be sitting there thinking, well, I wouldn't call myself a Christian, so this doesn't really matter for me. But I have to say that that'd be a wrong way to think. You see, all of humanity is in rebellion to God, and actually pride is at the heart of this rebellion. So if you're living life without trying to depend on God, then essentially you're saying, I don't need him, or I don't want you, God. I'm doing life just fine, thank you very much. But you see, this passage, which is true of the whole Bible, warns you. You see, God has given you everything you have, including your every breath. And to ignore him is pride. It's foolishness. Because without God, you are heading for destruction. You may think that being a Christian is not worth it, but listen again to the words in verse 3. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. By ignoring God, you can try to enjoy the bread, as it were, for a while, the things you have. But you'll be missing out on a relationship with the one true and eternal God who provides far more than bread, who delivers on far bigger promises in this life and the life to come. If you want to know God, then you need to put your pride away. You need to call out to him to forgive you. And then to praise him in your heart, knowing that he has done everything possible to save you from your sins in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Turn from your pride. Come and join in praising God. And if you're a believer here tonight, perhaps you need to repent of some pride that is evident in your heart. See, my prayer is that we may have a growing attitude like John the Baptist, who said this. He said, Jesus must become more. I must become less. Jesus must take our praise. And as we do that, we're going to squash our pride. Let's turn to God in prayer and ask him for his help as we seek to do that. I'll just give you a moment to confess perhaps some pride. Sometimes where we've perhaps started to slip on that slope and forget the Lord and all the great things, the way he's provided for us. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this evening for the fresh warning. Father, it's easy when we gather around your word and we sing songs and we call out to you. It seems hard to think that we'd forget you. And yet, Father, it is a real danger for us. And Father, to think it isn't a danger for us is pride. So Father, please protect us from this danger. May you help us to look back over our lives and over life at the moment. And whether it's been an easy week or a hard week, help us to be full of praise for your provision to us. For all the little ways that you provide for our needs. And as we thank you for that, we praise you for sending Jesus to be our to fulfill our biggest need, as he died on the cross for our sins in our place, for the pride in my heart. Our Father, this week, would we be those who are shaped by praise of you, not through pride. And Father, as we reflect, as we remember this church here being celebrating 122 years, Father, we thank you for that. We look back and thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. Father, may today not be a day where we say, well done us, but we say, praise you for sustaining us. And as we thank you for 122 years gone, Father, please, may for the next 122 years, may we be those who continue to praise you, that we wouldn't be a church that forgets you and drifts into pride and destruction. Oh, Father, please, shape us by this word this evening. Please, would you continue to penetrate our hearts through this message this evening and this week. Help us to be full of praise, not pride. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.